नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter 18, Diti vows to kill King Indra. We are reading from 63 to 71, and 71 we chant Sanskrit. Shall I read the verses before? Or we first do this one and then read the other verses? I know that, but I'm saying, should I first read 63? Whatever I want. Try. Wonderful. Yeah, let's read from 63 to 70, because 71 Indra gives a reply, so no problem. You all know the story, of course, right? He has entered the womb and is cutting the embryo into pieces. And the living entities enter into the different parts and they are crying, being cut. O King, 63. Being very much aggrieved, they pleaded to Indra with folded hands, saying, Dear Indra, we are the Maruts, your brothers. Why are you trying to kill us? When Indra saw that actually there were his devoted followers, he said to them, If you are all my brothers, you have nothing more to fear from me. Shukadeva Goswami said, My dear King Parikshit, You were burnt by the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama. But when Lord Krishna entered the womb of your mother, you were saved. Similarly, although the one embryo was cut into 49 pieces by the thunderbolt of Indra, they were all saved by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original person, even once, he receives the benefit of being promoted to the spiritual world and possessing the same bodily features as Vishnu. Diti worshipped Lord Vishnu for almost 1 year, adhering to a great vow. Because of such strength in spiritual life, the 49 Maruts were born. How then is it wonderful that the Maruts, although born from the womb of Diti, became equal to the demigods by the mercy of the Supreme Lord? Because of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Diti was completely purified. When she got up from bed, she saw her 49 sons along with Indra. These 49 sons were all as brilliant as fire and were in friendship with Indra, and therefore she was very pleased. Thereafter, Diti said to Indra, My dear son, I adhere to this difficult vow just to get a son to kill you 12 Adityas. I prayed for only one son, but now I see that there are 49. How has this happened? My dear son Indra, if you know, please tell me the truth. Do not try to speak lies. And now Indra will reply. Indra uvacha ambate hangyavasitam upadarya gatontikam labdhantarochidham garbham artha buddhir nadarmadrik indra uvacha ambateham vyavasitam upadharya gatantikam labdhantaro chidam garbam artha buddhir nadharmadrik indra uvacha ambateham gavasitam upadharya gatantikam labdhantaro chidam garbam artha buddhir nadarmadrik indra uvacha. Indra said, Amba, O mother, te, your, aham, I, vyavasitam, vow, upadharya, understanding, agataha, came, antikam, nearby, labdha, having found, antaraha, a fault, achidham, I cut, garbham, the embryo, artabuddhi, being self-interested, na, not, dharmadrik, possessing vision of religion. Translation. Indra replied, my dear mother, because I was grossly blinded by selfish interests, I lost sight of religion. When I understood that you were observing a great vow in spiritual life, I wanted to find some fault in you. When I found such a fault, I entered your womb and cut the embryo to pieces. Purport. When Diti, Indra's aunt, explained to Indra without reservations what she had wanted to do, Indra explained his intentions to her. Thus both of them, instead of being enemies, freely spoke the truth. This is the qualification that results from contact with Vishnu, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatyat kinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasate suraha. If one develops a devotional attitude and becomes purified by worshipping the Supreme Lord, all the good qualities are certainly manifested in his body. Because of being touched by worship of Vishnu, both Diti and Indra were purified. So there's hope, even for us. Indra uvacha ambateham yavasitam upadarya gatam tikam labdharantaro chidam garbam artabudir nadarmadrik. Indra replied, my dear mother, because I was grossly blinded by selfish interests, I lost sight of religion. When I understood that you were observing a great vow in spiritual life, I wanted to find some fault in you. When I found such a fault, I entered your womb and cut the embryo to pieces. Amagyana timirandasya yanandana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namah. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So another pastime with Indra. He's famous. Sometimes we use the word notorious. You know that word? It's not exactly, it's fame, but not in a very positive sense. So generally we know Indra, he is always looking for some fault. Not exactly fault, but yes, he becomes disturbed when he sees somebody becoming too serious in his practices, especially powerful yogis, Vishwamitra and others. Even Prithu Maharaj, when he was at the point of finishing 100 Ashwamedha sacrifices, Indra said, no, this I cannot tolerate. So he stole the horse and flew in the sky and dressed as a sannyasi, and we know the story. So he is, yes, notorious for doing things that are, let's say, uncommon, not very ordinary. So he, here, he sees his aunt executing this vow. Actually, the chapter is titled, Diti Vows to Kill Indra. That's also not very high quality to desire to kill somebody like Indra, the king of heaven. So, then when he saw a little fault in her practices, he entered the womb, the mystic powers, and cut into pieces the embryo. But now we see, and this is the, actually, Prabhupada in his purport points this out, this interesting part, that both of them became purified by contact with Vishnu. And Prabhupada quotes Yasyasti Bhakti Bhagavatya Kinchana, a very famous verse, not notorious, famous verse, positive verse, because there it says that somebody who becomes Bhaktir Bhagavati Akinchana, a worshipper, a devotee of Lord Krishna, then Sarva Gunais Tatra Samaste Suraha, all the good qualities of the suras, of the demigods, will gradually manifest in that person. Even if he has no good qualities, but by becoming a devotee and worshipping the Lord, then all these good qualities become manifest. So we will, this is from the fifth canto, so we will read that verse from the fifth canto, the translation and the purport, and see what Prabhupada says there. So this is the chapter 18, the prayers offered to the Lord by the residents of Jambudweep. And this is one of the prayers. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvayar gunais tatra samasate sura harava bhaktasya kuto mahatguna manoratena sati dhavato bahi. And the translation is, all the demigods and their exalted qualities, such as religion, knowledge, and renunciation, become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. On the other hand, a person devoid of devotional service and engaged in material activities has no good qualities. Even if he is adept at the practice of mystic yoga or the honest endeavor of maintaining his family and relatives, he must be driven by his own mental speculations and must engage in the service of the Lord's external energy. How can there be any good qualities in such a man? Logic. If somebody is not engaged in Krishna's service, he must be engaged in somebody else's service. And besides Krishna, well, there is Maya. So external energy means one is finally engaged some or other in some type of service that's governed by Maya. And even if that looks like a very nice attitude of service to the family, to the country, etc., etc., still it is considered not positive. But actually such a person doesn't have any good qualities. So Prabhupada explains in the purport. As explained in the next verse, Krishna is the original source of all living entities. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15.7, where Krishna says, Mamayavangsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manakshashtanindriyani prakriti stani karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. All living entities are part and parcels of Krishna, and therefore, when they revive their original Krishna consciousness, they possess all the good qualities of Krishna in a small quantity. When one engages himself in the nine processes of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Bandhanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam, one's heart becomes purified. And he immediately understands his relationship with Krishna. He then revives his original quality of Krishna consciousness. In the Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 8, there is a description of some of the qualities of devotees. For example, Sri Pandit Haridas is described as being very well behaved, tolerant, peaceful, magnanimous and grave. In addition, he spoke very sweetly. His endeavors were very pleasing. He was always patient. He respected everyone. He always worked for everyone's benefit. His mind was free of duplicity, and he was completely devoid of all malicious activities. These are all originally qualities of Krishna. And when one becomes a devotee, they automatically become manifest. Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, says that all good qualities become manifest in the body of a Vaishnava, and that only by the presence of these good qualities can one distinguish a Vaishnava from a non-Vaishnava. Krishna Das Kaviraj lists the following 26 good qualities of a Vaishnava. 1. He is very kind to everyone. 2. He does not make anyone his enemy. 3. He is truthful. 4. He is equal to everyone. 5. No one can find any fault in him. 6. He is magnanimous. 7. He is mild. 8. He is always clean. 9. He is without possessions. 10. He works for everyone's benefit. 11. He is very peaceful. 12. He is always surrendered to Krishna. 13. He has no material desires. 14. He is very meek. 15. He is steady. 16. He controls his senses. 17. He does not eat more than required. 18. He is not influenced by the Lord's illusory energy. 19. He offers respect to everyone. 20. He does not desire any respect for himself. 21. He is very grave. 22. He is merciful. 23. He is friendly. 24. He is poetic. 25. He is expert. And 26. He is silent. And that Prabhupada finishes the third point. So, the whole logic behind this verse, and I think, at least myself, when I hear this verse, sometimes I think, well, here we are trying to be devotees, and we don't see exactly all these qualities manifesting very quickly or even after many years in devotees. So is the verse wrong maybe, or is it an exaggeration? All the good qualities of the demigods become manifest if somebody is a devotee of Krishna. And one looks at himself and says, oh, I don't have this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. Of the 26, probably 25, I'm working on them, and I don't know, in this lifetime, maybe next lifetime, hopefully. So the question is this: is it exaggerated? Is it possible? Is it, what is it? Now the logic behind it, that as Prabhupada says, all these qualities originally are qualities of Krishna. He has all these qualities. And interestingly, Prabhupada quotes in the beginning of the purport, Mabhaya Mangsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. And one may wonder, what does this verse has to do with the verse about the qualities? But that's the point, because we are part and parcels of Krishna, Angsha, His Angshas. Therefore, qualitatively, we are the same. There's no difference. One and different simultaneously. Beda abeda. So in that sense, qualitatively, we are not different, although we don't have all the qualities, 100. Especially the last four we don't have. If we play on the flute, nobody becomes stunned and no stones will melt. Our bodily beauty, nothing special. Not all attractive to all living entities in the universe. Our childhood pastimes are rather not very pleasing. Passing stool and diapers and all this. No. And what is the fourth? The flute, pastimes, beauty. We're missing one. Yes. We don't have loving devotees like Krishna has. Anyway, the point is that although we are part and parcel of Krishna, and we actually do share most of the qualities, that's the truth. Therefore, Prabhupada says this, that all these qualities that are mentioned here, 26, they are originally qualities of Krishna, and when a living entity, a jiva, becomes Krishna conscious, like here in today's purport says, by contact with Vishnu, then even Diti and Indra, they developed good qualities. Good enough so that they're no longer enemies. Now they're speaking openly, they're truthful, they're actually revealing their intentions. She says, yes, I wanted to kill you. Oh yes, I was looking for a fall to go inside and cut to pieces. Now they actually were purified. That was it's Prabhupada's conclusion. By being touched by worship of Vishnu, both Diti and Indra became purified. Now, going back to these 26 qualities, we have read them all. There's one quality which is the most important one. And if you have that quality, even if you don't have all the 25 yet, this is the most important one. Which one? Yes, wonderful. They all know, you all know everything. Very good. To be surrendered to Krishna, that's the Swarup Lakshana. It's the, how would you say, the intrinsic, the most important characteristic of a devotee. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he explains sadhu ninda, blaspheming or criticizing a devotee, he says if a sadhu, because it's sadhu ninda, one may question, so who is a sadhu? Now these 26 are the qualities of a sadhu. And one doesn't see this one, as I said, oh, you don't have this, you don't have this, you don't have this, you don't have this. 25 you don't have. Oh, you know, and one starts to criticize. He's not poetic, he's not a sadhu. He is not, well, he has some possessions. It says he is without possessions, he has possessions. No, he's not a sadhu. And, no material desires. I see, he has material desires. No, he's not a sadhu. Does not eat more than required. I see he is eating this big plate of prasadam. Oh, he cannot be a sadhu. Anyway, the point is that it's so easy, like Indra, he was looking for a fault. And there's always a fault in this material world, whatever you do. As even Krishna says, any endeavor is overshadowed like a shadow, like a smoke is covered by fire. There's some fault. It's never perfect. So to find a fault, that's not very difficult. And if one does that and criticizes somebody because he's lacking one or two or three or even 25 of these qualities, and one does not see that one quality, he's actually has dedicated his life 100% to Krishna, he's surrendered to the Lord and he's engaging in his service, then one becomes an offender. So this is a very important understanding, that we should appreciate the quality of a devotee being surrendered to Krishna. That's the most important quality of all. And it is understood, if one is really surrendered unto Krishna, then it's only a matter of time that all these other qualities will manifest. Somebody who is seriously engaged in devotional service, it's practically inevitable. Like somebody enters a shower and actually turns on the water, and there's always also some soap, and he takes it and he starts, then it's only a question of time. Even if it's completely black because he worked in the coal mine or whatever he has done, so it may take a little while, but because he's inside the shower and the water is running and he's scrubbing, then don't criticize. He's still, no. So being in the shower and scrubbing means one is surrendered to Krishna. Then it's only a matter of time, all these other qualities will manifest. So this is, I think, we can take this lesson from this verse and this part of the pastime. That if somebody is in contact with Vishnu, and what to speak is actually worshipping the Lord, he's following the process of devotional service, he has accepted the shelter of a spiritual master following the instructions, then he's a sadhu. Like Krishna, when he quotes Apiche Tsururacharo, this verse, which means, although somebody may be engaged in Sudachar, I mean, it's the opposite of the good activities. So Prabhupada translates as abominable. Abominable is a very strong word in English. It's really repulsive if somebody does something. But bhajate mam ananyabhak, that's the point. Somebody who is actually one-pointedly surrendered to Krishna. Then sadhu eva samatha. Krishna says he's a sadhu. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes this statement. And he says that the swarup lakshana is bhajate mam ananyabhak, somebody who is actually surrendered to Krishna. And it has to be actually surrendered. It cannot be a show, an external, you know, giving the impression that one is very humble, but actually is not. No, you cannot cheat. So it has to come from the heart, this really ananyabhak. There's no other. In one's heart, the only desire is to serve the Lord and to become his devotee. But because of past sinful activities, there may be some reactions still, some bad habits, or even circumstances, bad company, whatever. One may engage in sudurachara, some bad activity. But actually in his heart he doesn't want to do that. So that's the point. not than what is making plans, then it doesn't fall into this category. So that's the point. One has to, and it's actually better for us at least, in general, to be on the safe side, to, if we see somebody not acting properly, then not jump immediately and start to speak badly, because you never know, give it some time. And if there's really an issue that has to be dealt with, then one has to go through the proper channels. And if you are in temple authority, of course, then one has to also do something. If it's the spiritual master in relationship to his disciples, yes, he also has to correct, but maybe point out some faults, mistakes. Everything is actually meant for elevating the person. Criticism means one wants to put down and actually destroy somebody. I mean, you know, go against. But constructive criticism, if it comes from the right source, is meant to, for one's benefit, to elevate somebody. So that's the difference. So that's not sadhu-ninda. The spiritual master criticizing, in quotation marks, his disciple, that's not sadhu-ninda. Or even the temple president correcting somebody who was in the temple living and he's not acting properly, is not considered sadhu-ninda, because he wants to help him and the others who are also there. So it's always a question of motivation. What is our intention? That's very important. But in general, the idea is, I think we can take that lesson, that a devotee who is sincerely trying to serve the Lord, who is surrendered, we should consider him a sadhu. And if there's some fault, well, be generous. Like Jesus even said, you may see this small little splinter in somebody else, but you don't even see your own big boulder. So, you know, when we see them, let's go to a mirror and look at yourself. You are criticizing, but I mean, look at yourself. How much you are eating, and what are you are speaking, what you are doing, and this and this and this. So then we become a little more humble and don't take that position of easily speaking ill of somebody else. Anyway, I think this is basically what we can learn from here. And we can stop here if somebody wants to comment or question. Yes, please. Oh, you have a moving microphone? Good.
Thank you very much, Guruji. Wonderful exposition. Talking about like sadhu-ninda and talking about like devotees when they are in the position of authority, when they might have to correct people.
Yes.
So
very difficult job.
As you said, that the first thing that matters is the motivation or maybe the intention.
Yes.
So like, but how the intention or motivation is demonstrated with some devotees, like it is generally very implicit. So
I mean, what can I say? Sometimes it's obvious. Well, Prabhupada says one thing also here that maybe it's good to repeat, that only by the presence of these good qualities can one distinguish a Vaishnava from a non-Vaishnava. So it's not that we have heard, oh, the most important thing is I am surrendered to Krishna, and all these other are not so important. So then, you know, I'm a rascal. That's the intention. Bad intention. I just make a show of being surrendered to Krishna and don't expect me to have any other of these qualities. No. One should develop all these other qualities. And then it's just a question of degree. Like, you know, humility, one can be more or less humble, cleanliness, where is the point of being not clean or unclean? But generally it's not so difficult to see, well, is the dhoti is full of stains from last prasadam and obviously has not been washed, and he has it for the third day, comes to Mangalarti, then to conclude, well, it's not clean, it's not offensive, I think. And then maybe the temple authority or temple commander or ashram leader, he has to see, Prabhu, I think it's time to wash the dhoti. Please, could you make an arrangement? Take some time from your busy services during the day and give it a little water. I mean, there's way to... But, it, you know, that's not criticism. It's actually an offense. Like this, and then what to speak if it's the pujari? And he's there in the altar doing puja, and then the temple president gets a heart attack because he sees our pujari is with his dirty dhoti on the altar committing offense, and I'm responsible. So then he has to practically drag him down and do something. I mean, it's common sense. And of course, bad intention, somebody abuses his position, and it's not for the benefit of the person, but he wants just to show his power, and, you know, then that's also, I think it's obvious for somebody. And anyway, sometimes it's more difficult to judge the intentions, but generally, you know, there's always, Krishna will make, if it's not so clear, normally Krishna makes his arrangements that things become clear. And especially if it's more than one person, then one has to consult maybe also with other senior devotees. And anyway, you know, those of us who have been around for some time, you know, there's sometimes a difficult situation, especially if it's a more advanced devotee, we see something and we want to deal with it, then you may have to go to proper channels, to go to a person on the same level, confidently inquire in a submissive attitude, but pointing out what I don't understand, I'm confused. He's doing this, he's doing that, he's not doing this, how do I understand? Is he now on the Raganuga platform and he doesn't have to follow any more rules? And normally it's not the case. This is not a good conclusion. Now, he's beyond all rules and regulations. Therefore, we never see him in the morning program because he's doing his Nirjana Bhajan. But normally that's not our philosophy. Anyway. Anything else? From the back?
Continuing from another question, the time you started reading out all those 26 qualities, and the same thing was like, there was a sinking feeling that after so many years, hardly any of them. So many a times I feel that this is misconstrued to believe that once we surrender to Krishna, then you don't need to worry about any qualities. So then, at the end of the day, neither we are surrendered to Krishna, nor we have any qualities, left with nothing. So, where to begin in that sense? Because surrendering to Krishna is a process, a long drawn process. Whereas, developing these qualities, are they any less difficult, or they're as difficult as surrendering to Krishna? So then, makes no difference.
I don't know whether I understood the question 100%. Just could you make it short?
Yeah,
so I get the point.
Sorry, but I'll rephrase it. Surrendering to Krishna is a long process of a lifetime.
That's relative, of course. Generally, it takes some time.
And these qualities, which one are easier?
Easier and more difficult qualities. I mean, to be clean, I think it's not such a difficult thing. Even sometimes non-devotees, and that's a shame. If a non-devotee is cleaner, at least externally, not internally we can discuss, but externally it's very obvious. Paka, taking bath 3 times a day, maybe even, you know, there's no spot, it's really clean. And then you have that devotee who has been a devotee for 20 years and still, you know, smells. So that's, it maybe even comes in with dirty feet. So that's not so difficult. Now let's see another one. does not eat more than required. Well, it shouldn't be too difficult. Eh? I don't know. Some are more easier than others, for sure. Truthful, you can work on that. Don't speak lies. And here we have that example. DT and Indra, they have developed that quality. That's one point. Thus, both of them, instead of being enemies, freely spoke the truth. So, you know, Indra explained his intentions, and she also. So they became truthful. No, that's not too difficult. Does not make anyone his enemy. We should try to. You know, why do we have to make somebody our enemy? So others, yes, it may be a little more difficult. That one is not influenced by the Lord's illusory energy. Never. And one of the most difficult ones, probably, one does not desire any respect for himself. That's very difficult. Maybe not much, but just a little bit of respect. Right? I don't want to be famous, but a little bit of respect, please. And maybe not everybody will become a poet. But if you're not a poet, I think it's not a great obstacle for becoming Krishna conscious. So, and another one that's easy, be friendly. He is friendly. Why not? What's the problem of being friendly? Just have a smile and treat somebody as a friend. Thinking that they're all part and parcel of Krishna. So it becomes easy. Even a dog and a cat and a hawk can be almost like a friend. Anyway, you go through the list, and I think with common sense, you can make two lists, or even three, easy, medium, and very difficult. But even the very difficult ones, finally, it all also depends on Krishna's mercy. If we surrender to the Lord, try to follow the instructions of the spiritual master, then even the most apparently difficult quality can manifest. And then, you know, we don't become proud that it's because I am so qualified, but we just thank, you know, our well-wishers, the Lord and Guru and Krishna, for being merciful and kindly blessing us that we have these qualities. Although we know that's another quality of the devotee, he will not think that he has the qualities, although he may have them. So, anyway, I hope this helps. Okay, so I think we reached the limit of 9 o'clock. It's okay. Anything else? If not, we stop here. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. Very nice temple. Beautiful altar and deities, and Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Rantara Śrīmad Bhāgavatam ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.